and repairs. Don't delay. Call Auto Craftsman at 223-2253 or go to their website, autocraftsman.com.
It's time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Thank you, Jim Conde. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. What a beautiful day today. Thanks for spending part of it with us. Hopefully you're at school's outside today. Hopefully you're outside somewhere driving around and having fun. And if not, well, maybe you will by 11 o'clock this morning. Coming up on the program today at about 10:15, we'll be joined by the Attorney General. Bill Sorrell will join us. We're going to talk about the complaint that has been filed against him alleging campaign violations. That'll be coming your way at about 10:15 this morning, right after our White House report. And we would love to hear from you on the program this morning. The usual phone numbers, you can reach us at 244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. And you can also reach us on our toll-free lines at 877-291-8255. A couple of quick programming notes for you. Coming up Friday, I'll be back down at the State House in Montpelier where things are going to be. This is going to be a wild week down at the legislature. This and next week, hold on to your hat because this is when things really start to happen here. So we'll be down there on Friday. Events may dictate that I go down there another couple of times as well, too. So we'll find out what's going on with that. Let me again give you the phone numbers, 244-1777, our local number, toll-free 877-291-8255. Thursday, we will talk with a gentleman who is starting a book group for vets. It's a really interesting program. All right, we're going to begin this morning and talk about something that's going on out there in the business world. And we have some folks here who are joining us from the world of construction, I guess, broadly speaking. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning. Maureen Connolly is the Executive Director of the Vermont Home Builders and Remodelers Association. Also joining us is Dennis Borbo. He's a builder. And also joining us is Bob Bouchard, a name you may know, former legislator and also the owner of Bouchard Pierce Appliances. And we're here to talk about what the Vermont Department of Labor has been up to auditing some of these businesses. Bob, let me start with you on this. Good morning.
Good morning, how's it going, Mark?
So what's the Department of Labor doing that is of concern to you folks?
Well, what is happening is they are performing audits, and the purpose of the audits is to classify whether or not independent contractor, sole proprietors that are hired by general contractors, whether or not that they are classified as employees. And it's a very important issue because the Department of Labor has broadened the scope of who is being classified as an employee. So general contractors are hiring sole proprietors to do such jobs as siding of the house, roofing the house, finished carpentry. These are all independent workers. They do their own scheduling. They're hired on a contract basis. And so what happens, there's in the laws, in part of the definitions of workers' comp, something that is triggering these audits that is kind of taking these independent contractors in. They're being classified as employees because the Department of Labor is saying that they are doing like work. So it's not like a distinct and separate work, but because you're a general contractor, a roofer is doing like work as you, so therefore that roofer is considered an employee.
Gotcha.
But it's very costly because if you're an employee, you have to pay the workers' comp on them and also the unemployment insurance on them.
Right. Yep. So that's really what's at issue here is whether or not how an employee or how somebody that you hire is defined as a big determination whether or not you have to pay workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. If it's somebody who's an independent contractor, presumably you don't.
That's correct. And, you know, sole proprietors by nature are allowed by the state of Vermont to exclude themselves from having to purchase workers' compensation insurance, and also they're not liable for the unemployment insurance.
Right. Yeah. So what's the argument you use against the Labor Department that these folks are doing something separate and distinct?
Well, the construction business by and Dennis probably could speak to this, but I think I have seen it evolve where people have become specialists so that they feel that they can make more income by going out on their own, that they are a specialist. And so what happens is now they also have a certain control of their work. So they're able to reject jobs if they don't have the time or they don't even feel like doing it. So they're truly independent. They're sole proprietors. They're not being directed by general contractors, to do work that they do not want to do.
Which is a standard. I mean,
yes.
If I'm an employee and Ken Squire says, you know, I want you to take out the trash, I work for him.
Yeah. Another important point to make is not just the construction industry that's being affected by this. It affects all kinds of industries. And I can make the case for your radio station. You're not always here, and so you have a substitute that comes in. Well, you know, he does like work as you. So technically that substitute would be an employee of Mr. Squire because he does like work in the radio business.
Hmm.
So I don't know if you're paying the workers' comp on this particular person, but, you know, every type of business out there can be caught up in this.
Well, you kind of walked into one on that one because you know who fills in for me.
I don't know the name, but I know someone does.
Yeah, Ken Squire. So
yeah, but it's not always Ken Squire.
He might be a little conflicted out there. So Dennis, tell me what's been the experience with this audit? What happened? Tell me what happened with this.
Well, 2 years ago. I guess why don't we start way back in 2010? The Department of Labor had a meeting at the state home builders group, and they did propose that they were going to be starting to audit businesses and how they wanted to start classifying contractors that worked for you as potential employees. They were very unclear on how it was going to be determined, and they also do not have any forms where you can basically fill in all your employees on your unemployment form. Okay, you need to pay on those. They don't have a form that says all your independent contractors that you need to pay unemployment on.
Mm-hmm.
When we questioned the state on how to do that, they said, oh, just set up your own spreadsheet and send it in with the money. And so in order to get it clarified, I wrote a letter to Ann Noonan at that time in 2011. And also to our legislators at the time. Did not get a response, followed up on it 2 months later, and still got no response. I had written a letter stating I'm a home builder and I hire roofers, siders, framing contractors, etc., and who would be considered like kind in my business.
Right.
Received no response. 2 years ago, the auditor shows up on our doorstep and goes through our entire general ledger and stuff and goes back 3 years and starts picking out a handful of independent contractors out of our list and calls them employees, and now they want $8,000. When we asked again for clarification of why are these contractors considered employees, they just basically said, well, they fail all three parts of the ABC test, which is incorrect because these independent contractors do work for other people,
right,
other contractors, and they also, I do not control their work. They work on their own. They have their own tools. The only part of the ABC test that was in question is, is it considered a like kind or not? So to this day, we still do not have an answer. I have appealed the audit. The appeal has taken 17 months. During that 17 months, they have been sending me a monthly invoice with interest and penalties as the bill continues to go up to $300 a month. And now we're going to be having an appeal, but the appeal, the magistrate is hired by the Department of Labor. So
17 months?
17 months.
Now, these were all people that you sent a 1099 to, right? Not a W-2 at the end of the year.
That is correct.
All right. Now, my recollection and my understanding is you send somebody a 1099, they're an independent contractor.
That is correct.
If you fail one of the three of the ABC tests, is that good enough, or do you have to fail all three?
Just one part, and they're considered an employee. The complications that occur with that is if the independent contractor, let's say he's a tile flooring installer, and he goes and works for a homeowner and puts in new tile in their bathroom, he's an independent contractor.
Right.
If that same contractor works for me to put in tile in a new house, now he becomes an employee. Well, how is the state and the IRS going to start separating? Is he an independent contractor? Does he have the right to write off all of his expenses? Is he now going to have 20% of his income as employee income, 80%? So then is he, you know, and employees don't come to the job with all of their tools and so it's going to become very, very convoluted as this continues to go forward.
So, Maureen, how many people in your group have been audited?
Just about everybody that's established in a generational business has experienced audits.
Hundreds of people we're talking
about? It's a significant amount of our population, of our membership. I would say that it's probably somewhere in the between 60 and 75%. It's hard to know because until we became very vocal, there were a lot of people who, it's almost like these people are being shamed. They're being treated like criminals, and they feel ashamed that they've been audited, and they pride themselves on running really good businesses. They're members of the community. They provide support to community events, and, you know, they take pride in their work. And then they find themselves on this very hostile situation with the Department of Labor, and they feel isolated and alone. And it wasn't until we started becoming more vocal as a group, I actually started inviting my members to come with me to the Department of Labor working group meeting, because I thought it was important for the suits sitting around the table, you know, postulating on what it is to be a worker, to actually see a worker. And so we actually found that when the meetings were being opened up through me to my members, more and more of them started coming forward. And it became obvious that this had gone well beyond the bounds of just trying to find the person who's, you know, running under the radar, has a truck, doesn't have a logo, isn't registered in the state of Vermont, you know, does a pickup job here, pickup job there. That's not who these audits are directed at. They're directed at established generational businesses. We've had one business member tell us that their son has stepped away from the business. He looks at the way that this environment is in the state and says, you know, he doesn't want to be a part of this. It's hard enough to make a margin, you know, in this business with all the rules and regulations and the permits and the requirements, that to then turn around and have that profit taken away because you're paying for workman's compensation for somebody for a job that's been closed for 3 years and no one's ever going to ever collect for that injury. That's insanity. The same thing with the unemployment insurance. We were speaking with somebody who does payroll services, and they guarantee that you're meeting your state requirements when they do your payroll. Mm-hmm. The payroll service got audited. They were required to pay workman's compensation and unemployment insurance for 3 years back on summer counselors who had come into the state to work for 3 or 4 weeks. They're camp followers. They leave and they go wherever the warm weather is. They're never going to collect unemployment insurance off that job, but that payroll company was forced to pay the unemployment insurance for these people who don't even live in the state and will never collect those dollars. This is nothing more than a fundraising opportunity. And it's discouraging. I mean, you're talking about an industry that was the hardest hit industry in the recession because it was caused by the housing loan fallout. And we are just now climbing out of a very long and protracted slow recession. I mean, the growth margin has been ridiculously slow, and we're just beginning to turn that corner. And our businesses, I had a business member call me last week, being billed $18,000 in arrears. $18,000. They were told that they have to pay workman's compensation insurance on their computer consultant. The person who came in because her computer crashed, and she called him in. He runs his own business. He runs from business to business, fixing their computers.
Wow.
And she was told that she needs to carry workman's compensation on him because she's had him. He's necessary to her work. That's the standard that they're using.
Wow. All right, we're going to take a short break here. Let me grab another set of headphones. We'll take some calls for our guests. Joining us this morning, we've been talking with Maureen Connolly. She's the executive director of the Vermont Home Builders and Remodelers Association. Dennis Borbo is a builder, and Bob Bouchard is the owner of Bouchard Pierce Appliances. We'll take a short break. Tom and Forbes, hang on. We'll get to your calls right after this.
Do you have water damage or soot damage? Call SR Services in Montpelier. They're the experts. Don't get discouraged if your home has been damaged by water from flooding or a leaky roof. SR Services has the equipment and expertise to restore the appearance of your home to like new again. They work on tile and grout floors, too. Gray grout lines will be white again thanks to SR Services. For water and smoke damage or professional carpet cleaning, call SR Services at 223-6577. SR Services, 407 Barry Street in Montpelier, 223-6577.
Champlain Valley Equipment East Randolph invites you to Customer Appreciation Day this Friday from 10 to 3. You'll find discounted parts and toys, cash and carry. Visit with manufacturers' representatives from Bobcat, Kuhn, and Polaris. See product demos and the rental corral. Visit with Sheriff Bill and VASA members. There'll be door prizes and lunch during the Champlain Valley Equipment open house at their East Randolph location, formerly LW Greenwoods. This Friday from 10 to 3, see them online at champlainvalleyequipment.com.
Vermont Community Loan Fund borrower and Vermont business owner Bob Light talks about the Vermont Community Loan Fund.
When my wife Lee and I wanted to expand our Hollister Hill Farm bed and breakfast and to expand our farm store, we looked around for a loan. Traditional lenders weren't interested in our business plan. Then we heard about the Vermont Community Loan Fund. The loan fund looks at lending differently. It isn't just about the bottom line. It's about building Vermont's future, Vermont's businesses and jobs.
The Vermont Community Loan Fund is a mission-driven lender. We focus on people, not profits. We're lending money to Vermont's small businesses to help them succeed.
The Loan Fund really looked at the whole picture with us. They saw how we were an asset to Vermont. Now, we're growing and proud to contribute to what makes Vermont work.
If you're looking for a business loan, look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund, where we look at lending differently. Visit investinvermont.org.
Thanks and love you, Mom. No better way to say it than with a Ben & Jerry's ice cream cake. Imagine your mom's delight and surprise when she receives a cake made just for her out of her two favorite Ben & Jerry's ice cream flavors, topped off with your message of appreciation written in hot fudge. It's the perfect way to let her know how much you care. And since she's your mom, you know she'll share. Custom orders taken until May 8th. Can't decide? Staff picks available daily. Call 882-2034 or find us on Facebook. Mention WDEV and receive $4 off your Mom's Day ice cream cake order. Love you, Mom.
Vermont Tire and Service is hosting their second annual Cooper Customer Appreciation Day this Saturday. Stop by and enjoy free hot dogs. Sign up to win over $1,000 in prizes. Get great savings on all Cooper tires, some much less than wholesale. Get a free $50 gas card when you buy four qualifying Cooper tires. Buy four Cooper tires and get tire mounting, flat repair, and tire rotation all for free. Sale ends Saturday at Vermont Tire and Service, River Street, Montpelier. Your Cooper Tire store where your dollar buys more. Family owned and operated for over 30 years.
All right, we're back, and we go to the phone. Let's take a couple of calls here for our guests. We've been talking about the Vermont Department of Labor auditing some businesses and claiming that people that were working for these businesses, that the businesses felt were independent contractors, were actually employees, making them then subject to workers' compensation and unemployment insurance, and in some of the cases going back a number of years. Can Maureen, before we go to the phone, can you just remind me, it's been a while since I had to do payroll myself, workers' comp, what's the rate these days? Do you know?
Well, it varies.
Okay, right. It varies on what your
right. And our industry obviously is on the higher end.
Right. Okay. And then unemployment insurance is also a variable
correct.
Rate, and that's only collected on one of them is only collected on the first X amount of
that would be the unemployment
insurance. And it used to be 8 when I did it. What's it now?
16.
Oh, my gosh. It has been a while since I did it. All right. So let's take a couple of calls here. We begin in Montpelier. Tom, how are you this morning? All
right. Hello.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good. Well, I want to also mention that it's kind of like a money grab. Evidently, the state is going after anything and anybody they can go. They're walking on these gray areas, and it's almost like my instance was with the tax department.
Yeah,
I'm independent, run a catering company, and I actually ran the food service for 2 nonprofits, a school and a summer camp. And they came back on me for rooms and meals tax. And even I had all kinds of letters from the people I worked for that they were the ones that purchased all the food, and I just prepared it for them. And when it's all said and done, it was almost 4 or 5 years later. They originally tried to get me for $6,800. But, of course, in the meantime now, it's near $19,000 with penalties. And I went through the whole hearing, and basically it was like one of them things where you get the thing in the mail and it seems like such a common sense thing to us out here. And you think, well, this isn't going to, there's no way that this is right. Well, anyways, I now have to pay $160 a month for the next 3 years. And I'm covered by the shadow of a threat that if I miss a payment, it goes back to the $19,000. Plus, it's still incurring interest and penalties. But if I keep the payments and don't miss a payment, it'll stop at $6,800. It's just like, these politicians, whatever, run us into the ground so deep. They're just going after anything and everything, and it's not just the Department of Labor, and I'll just hang up.
So hold on. So this is basically for serving meals at a summer camp?
Yes, summer camp, which was a nonprofit church, and then it was a private school in Stowe.
And they're trying to hit you for rooms and meals tax on meals you were serving campers.
Yeah, because I also, in my business, I do snow plowing and stuff in the winter. And I run the cash from that and landscaping through the business. And since it was, how plowing and stuff is, it's cash. So you just get these deposits. So they're saying there was no way I could prove that the extra money in my checking wasn't from doing other catering, even though it's a cash, the snow plowing and landscaping. And basically, my only option was the court. And, of course, that's also be out of my own pocket for, attorney was going to cost me more than half of what the $6,800 was. So I just, it's pretty much they've got you. You sign on the paper and hopefully you don't miss the $160 and it reverts to the $19,000.
Wow. Wow.
So that's our tax department at work now in Vermont.
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good day, guys.
Thank you. Has the tax department gotten involved in this too, or are they just...
No. Our interactions have been primarily with the Department of Labor. I do understand what he's saying. We had a person who also had an audit done a number of years ago contacted me and said that this was the $18,000 fine. And it was winter, and construction doesn't move very quickly in the winter, so she couldn't make a payment. So she called them up and said, I'll have the money together next month plus this month's payment, but I can't make it this month. And then they contacted her workman's comp insurance, and her workman's comp insurance was canceled because she missed the one payment, even though they told her it would be okay. So, the collection side of it is just as bad as the audit itself, because the minute a person says that they don't want, they're doing the audit, then at the end of the audit, they're asking for a check. I mean, they're standing in your business, generally, which is, either a small office or your home, and they're saying, write me a check. And the person says, no, I want to exercise my, the rights to due process. And they're like, well, the fines and penalties start today. And then they just call constantly trying to collect the money, whether you agree with it or not. I mean, there just seems to be this stepping away from rational due process, which everybody is guaranteed under the Constitution.
Let's go to Corinth Forbes. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good.
Well, that was some story. story, just prior to the
guilty till proven innocent. Is
really?
What I took from that.
I don't know. Good I was grief. A legislator. I think that would upset me a little bit. I'd probably get involved and see what's going on. A man's inhumanity to man here.
Yeah.
Personal note, I had a small business and operated it for years, and people I did business with, and this the independent contractor, basically, the insurance companies. Now, here's a smacks of a little collusion as far as I'm concerned. They audit each year in payouts and labor and whatnot of different companies. Hmm. And they came to me and said, you've got to have workman's comp. And I said, well, historically, a sole proprietor does not need a workman's comp.
Right.
So I called my insurance agent and asked him what the policy would be, and he said $1,100. Of course, I had liability and property, but that doesn't cover you. So workman's comp doesn't cover the sole proprietor. So I went back to him, and I said, it's the insurance company requiring it of us. So I had to make a decision. Also, they wanted $2 million liability on my vehicle because I drove it onto their site. So it just, it's
wow.
becoming prohibitive for small business people, which is the backbone of all of our economy.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that is most frightening is when you hear stories like this. We're talking about the $18,000 fines, the $15,000 fines, the 17 months, the 2 years. We had one person who contacted us and said he had gotten a letter saying they needed, the letter of introduction, what they wanted for an audit. He was out on a medical leave for a major surgery, said that he'd be back in 3 months. And when he started his business up again, he would be more than happy to comply. Called him the first day back. They had already labeled him as being non-compliant, even though they agreed to give him the 3 months because he was out on medical leave. They had already determined he was non-compliant. They were already in aggressive collection mentality even prior to an audit. He was able to talk them through this, and then he sent them the documentation, and then he didn't hear from them for 2 years. And he thought, who's thinking that 2 years later they're going to come up with a bill?
Right.
2 years later, they walk in the door, and they're handing him a bill for an astronomical amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, we had another person who, they had a little home. Their business is run in their house. The wife does the books. The husband does the work. The husband, left his wife with the auditors, and they were there till like 7 o'clock at night. When he came home, they were still there. He kind of called it a day and said, okay, this needs to stop. This is our home.
Mm-hmm.
They asked the wife if they could take the documentation, and the wife inadvertently just said yes because she just wanted them out of the house. They took all the checks and all the documents, and they're gone. And now they've been 2 years. They can't get them back. They haven't heard. They don't know what they've got this anvil hanging over their head.
Mm-hmm. Bob, you were in the legislature at one point. So what's is the legislature doing anything about this, and are they aware of this problem?
They are plenty aware of the problem, and it's not a new problem. It's been going on for quite a few years, and sitting in the Commerce Committee in the last 2 years, we tried to address it. And I think what's happening is that the legislator is looking at it as trying to tackle, more than one problem at a time. They're trying to bundle a lot of different things together. And so what happens, it becomes cumbersome, and then nobody understands it, and nothing happens. So we had a remedy this year. We formulated a strategy by just introducing a couple of bills. And we wanted to just keep it simple, and our strategy was do it one step at a time. Let's tackle one problem. So we wanted to address the workers' comp side of things and not address unemployment insurance. So we have two bills, H-216 and H-331, in play. And that would be to remove that obstacle where the sole proprietor can do similar work as the general contractor. Mm-hmm. In our opinion, that would just open up things immensely and give commerce a real chance to happen in this state. The gentleman who called, who had his own business, said the backbone of business is the small business, and that's true for the entire country. If you look at how much is commerce, and small business accounts for over 80% of commerce in the United States, and in Vermont is probably true for every state. And then, but what? Why is small business constantly being hammered and, you know, not able to grow? And why do we have all these obstacles? And it's because of these types of things. If you're a young man or young woman and you want to start your own business, you want to be a sole proprietor. You want to keep your expenses down. You want to grow. You want to, yeah, you know, try to live the American dream. But when you get into things like this, where you need somebody to come in and help you for a day, and then they call them your employee, you know, that just doesn't render itself to grow, and you just run into problems. We have answers. We're willing to sit, you know, with people and work things out. We have a lot of good ideas. We understand people probably should be covered when, you know, when possible. But right now, the way businesses are being handled by the Department of Labor, we're having a real struggle out there. We have to take care of this problem before we can move on.
Mm-hmm. I'm really troubled to hear, too, when people are told that if they keep a certain payments up, they pay X amount of money, you miss a payment, that you go back to some higher amount. I mean, there just seems something. It's what's the right amount to charge is what I'm saying to myself. That's not a good way to treat somebody.
It smacks of loan sharking.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. Let's head up to Johnson. Bill, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Mark. My name is Bill Moore. I'm the legislative director for the Vermont Farm Bureau. We've been working on a very similar issue with regards to tax department. Equipment dealers for agricultural equipment have been heavily audited over the last 2 years or so, and we've been helping to represent a dozen dealers or so who have over $2.5 million in appeals with regards to charges resulting from these audits. The audits of the tax department auditors have fanned out over, a dozen years now, but really going back to, you know, governors under both parties, this is a strategy to collect what may or may not be legitimately owed taxes. Mm-hmm. That has spiraled out of control of the administrations, several of both parties, and we have experienced it pointedly with regards these audits go to the equipment dealers, and they just willy-nilly deny agricultural equipment exemptions from the sales and use tax. Mm-hmm. And they just check, this one's off, this one's no good, this one's no good, this one's no good, and then they're facing either pay it or face, you know, the penalties and fines and this and that. It's a very heavy-handed tactic. It's similar to what we're hearing from your guests. Both the House Ways and Means Committee as well as the House Agriculture Committee have aired these problems and issues, and yet the House has really done nothing to move forward on some remedies. Ways and Means Committee members have told us that over 2, 3, and 4 years ago, they have told the tax department to get their auditors under control, regain some professionalism and consistency in how they operate in the field. And yet they were shocked when we brought these anecdotal stories to them this year. Mm-hmm. We thought we had them under control. Well, obviously they don't. So this is about the tax department generally, about a lack of professionalism in the auditors, a lack of training, regulatory guidance for their field people. This is a bigger picture problem. And as best as I can figure, no real momentum to fix it. And I hate to say this, it's sort of bombastic for me to say it, but if the House is two committees working on this issue and they fail to move forward, that really lays at the feet of the Speaker, because he's quite well aware of the broader issue of tax auditors and the way they behave in the field. And if he doesn't instruct his committees to get aggressive and move forward on this, then it will not move forward. So I sympathize mm-hmm. with your guest. Yep.
Well, interestingly,
appreciate your time.
Thank you, Bill.
We actually had a call from a farmer when we first put our message out in the papers. And the farmer called because he was complaining that he shares a spreader with other farmers because they can't afford the equipment. So it's a good offshoot business for someone to buy, you know, invest in the equipment and then go from farm to farm doing the manure spreading. And he got told by the Department of Labor that he has to pay workman's comp on the manure spreader. The manure spreader is a registered business. He's self-employed. He's waived his, you know, with the department's blessing, his need to carry workman's compensation. And I have a farmer calling me. I mean, it's ludicrous. I mean, when you think about the fact that the Department of Labor created a process that allowed businesses to waive the need to carry workers' compensation insurance, mm-hmm. and then they turn and say to our businesses, oh, well, yes, they can waive insurance for themselves, but when they work for you, they're employed by you, mm-hmm. and therefore you carry their insurance for them. And then they are back charging. There's no way an insurance company is going to say, oh, that person was injured in 2010, and, well, let me give you this retroactive premium that you can pay, and then we'll happily pay for that person's injury. Mm-hmm. You know they're not going to do that. They're going to come back and say, well, you didn't have insurance on them, so, you know, if they sue you, you're out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's they're collecting on something that the business can't even benefit from the service for. So it's really kind of nothing more than a fundraiser. And in answer to your question about what the... We have six bills sitting in House Commerce. Two of them are ours. The other four are different varying degrees of the workman's comp issue. Up until this week, we weren't able to even to get a hearing on this. It wasn't until we went full-blown public with our press conferences and our posters and our, you know, getting our information out into the public that we were able to at least get them to move. And of all the people that they've asked to testify on Thursday, the home builders aren't one of them.
Hmm. All right. Wow. Let's go to Burlington. Bob, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Mark. Bob Schwartz here. My company is Great Northern Construction, and we are a 40-year-old design-build general contractor. I'm located on Church Street. And what I have to say is the current actions by the state of Vermont, and more specifically the Department of Labor, are driving my 40-year-old company out of business. They are killing the entrepreneurial spirit and breaking the backs of my industry along with others.
Wow. I mean, you've been around a long time, Bob.
That's quite a statement for you
to
make.
Well, yes. I just can't. I have never felt that the state is an adversary, and now that has changed.
What have they done with you? The same type of thing?
I have a bill for $15,000 of penalty and interest from a retroactive audit from 3 years ago. There's nothing. I have paid all the freight. There's nothing I can do about it. All these guys were playing by the rules, and the rules changed.
Mm-hmm. So what are you challenging this? What are you going to do?
Well, I've appealed my penalty and interest and the findings. I appealed it before a magistrate who works for the Department of Labor. How? What does that sound like?
Sounds like not in this country. What did the department claim? Who were the people that they claimed you hired that should have been claimed
to
be employees?
Well, they were both sole proprietors. They don't want to work for me. They work for me on occasion.
I mean, are we talking
they are
like
not my employees?
Are they like?
And they are specialized.
Okay, like Tylers. What are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about specialized folks that do art restoration, et cetera.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you for your call, Bob. I appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you, Mark, for taking it.
Let's go to anything anybody want to comment on with that?
I would have to agree with Bob as far as when they come across with the audits that they're trying to push them on you very quickly. When we had received the results from our audit, they wanted payment immediately. We went through the appeal process, which we're going to be getting our hearing here next week, and the collection agency called us before our appeal period even had started. We had 30 days to appeal, and they demanded the money. We said we were going to appeal. They said if they didn't get our appeal notice in on the 30th day, on the 31st day, they were going to be calling us and continuing to hound us for the money.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. Let's go to Port Henry, New York. John, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. I just had a question. Is the policy the same? I've been listening to the horror stories about comp and workers' comp and unemployment insurance. Is it the same in New York?
Yeah, that's a good question.
We don't know.
Actually, yes, it is. And actually, Vermont may have been taking a page from your state. We were members of the National Association of Home Builders, and we have legal staff recourse available to us, and they've been weighing in on many of the bills that we're going to be testifying on Thursday. And we actually meet monthly to go over the national situation, because this aggression actually stems from grants that were provided by the Obama administration for unemployment insurance. And the reason why we're talking about workman's comp, but what you hear them fining you on is unemployment, is because there's only one workers' comp investigator for the entire state of Vermont. But they have these auditors that are hired under the grant for under unemployment. And so they go out and find the people, and then they hand the stuff over the divider in the office to the workers' comp investigator. So any of the states that receive the grants are the states that are seeing this aggression.
Wow.
Are you a contractor, John?
I'm a sole proprietor. Auto
okay.
repair. And my sister and brother-in-law, they have their own business, and I believe occasionally take in subcontractors. So I was listening to this on my way back from Thai, and it's quite a story. I know they want $75 per $100 paid for compensation here in New York.
Wow.
Workers' comp, I mean.
Jeez.
And that's why they don't hire a lot of people.
You're from, like, Syracuse, right?
Pardon?
You're actually from Syracuse, right? Not Port Henry.
No, I'm a Port Henry.
No. You tell them you're from Syracuse. Let them go look there.
That's a good one. Well, listen, thank you for your time. I love your show.
Wow.
Bye.
Thanks for your call. 244-1777. That's our local number in Central Vermont. Toll free 877-291-8255. We're going to take a short break. We've been talking with Bob Bouchard, Dennis Borbo, and Maureen Connolly. We've been talking about the efforts on the part of the Vermont Department of Labor auditing a number of businesses, questioning whether or not people were subcontractors and should be treated as employees or as independent contractors, which makes a huge deal in whether or not you have to pay workers' comp or unemployment insurance. We'll take a short break. We'll be back right after these important announcements.
Get ready for the Vermont Chamber Business and Industry Expo, featuring a redesigned event format. Join us for one full business day of networking and seminars on Thursday, May 21st at the Sheraton Burlington. As the region's largest B2B trade show, Expo is the perfect platform to network with over 3,000 business attendees and exhibitors. Visit an expert in the new Digital Marketing Hub, sponsored by Dealer.com, and make sure to register early for tickets to the Senator Leahy Business Breakfast and TD Bank Innovation Institute. Visit vtexpo.com to register today.
Are you a flavor junkie? Do you have discerning taste or just really opinionated taste buds? Well, if so, and you're 18 or older, the Keurig Green Mountain Sensory Test Center wants to hear from you. Join us at our facility in Waterbury Center for ongoing tasting sessions. And be the first to experience innovative foods, beverages, and other products before you see them in the grocery aisle. Tasting sessions happen every week and only take 30 to 45 minutes. Each time you visit, you'll receive rewards such as Amazon gift cards and Keurig.com discounts, plus incentives to shop and eat locally while you're in town. Who doesn't want the opportunity to have fun and get rewarded at the same time? All you have to do is tell us what you think. There's no experience necessary to participate. You just need to be 18 or older and love trying new things. Become a Keurig Green Mountain taste tester today and let your voice be heard. Give us a call at 882-2500 and don't forget to tell your friends.
Don't miss out on water adventure in Vermont this summer. Visit the Small Boat Exchange in Shelburne. With over 30 years of expert advice and experience, the Small Boat Exchange carries new and used sailboats, powerboats, kayaks, dinghies, and paddleboards. The Small Boat Exchange will get you out on the water, whatever your budget. Stop in and see John before May 13th, and you'll receive a special gift from the Community Sailing Center while they last. Visit them on the web at smallboatvt.com and discover why life is better on the lake. The Small Boat Exchange, making boating accessible for everyone.
One. All right, we're back. Continue our discussion. We've been talking about the effort on the part of the Vermont Department of Labor has been auditing some businesses out there claiming that employees should have been classified as, or contractors should have been employed, classified as employees and not as independent contractors. I will get some folks here on from the Vermont Department of Labor to find out what the deal is with this as well. Let's head to Waterbury. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mark. Pretty good so far. Up here in my subdivision, I'm chipping brush from the ice storm here, trying to clean things up, and jumped in the truck here to move ahead and listen to your conversation, and it doubled my blood pressure immediately. Some of the callers that called in, I resonate with what they had to say. But I think there's a bigger picture here. We have a system in place, our beloved government, that has no real way of supporting itself. So right now, they're grasping at straws, and this has been coming for quite some time, to do anything to keep their ship afloat. This workman's comp thing is, you're right, it's a farce. I've got people that work for me that, you know, they have to carry a rider. Otherwise, I have to cover them under my insurance policy. I just got off the phone with a banker here a little bit ago talking about a piece of property purchase. And I tried to explain to her that, you know, at the end of the year, you try to make your books look reasonably good, but you don't want to make them too good because the government's going to just dip right into your pocket and rape your pocketbook. But we've got a system where there's too many people, and this is how I'll put it to you, too many people on the payroll that every week when they go to get their paycheck, what you get in return is a stack of papers. In my business, when you pay me at the end of the week or at the end of the month, you've got something that improves your life. Either I put a new septic system in for you, dig a cellar hole for you, improve your road, something that betters your life. But too many people in the state government, way too many, either are drawing off the programs that are in state government with no return on investment, or the people that are working in state government. And this isn't aimed at people in state government. It's aimed at the system that's in place. The system is drawing down too much off the business people out there, and it's gonna come to an end. It just can't continue moving forward the way it is.
All right, let me have our guest comment. Thanks for your call.
Well, I know that the boondoggle of the healthcare fiasco has put a drain on the state, and I know that there was a section of society that really needed to be covered under health insurance, that the people who were at high risk, people who had, you know, pre-existing conditions. My problem with what happened is that they did it kind of backwards. Instead of addressing the issue, they created an entire system that then has drained the budgets of the state of Vermont. And the people who had the pre-existing conditions actually ended up having to wait. They were paying premiums before their insurance took effect because they had a pre-existing condition. So it didn't exactly do what it was set up to do. But the problem is that now every program in the state is being asked to cut its budgets. Some of them are necessary. Like, for instance, I don't want to see us not have lobbying reporting. I think lobbying reporting is an important part of keeping government, you know, honest. And yet you try and deal with the Secretary of State's office. They do a phenomenal job of servicing people when they call in for questions and try to get them, you know, organized and get them onto their reports on time. And they're doing the best that they can, but they're under an enormous amount of financial pressure. Those employees aren't going to get the raises and things that they need because they've got this drain coming out on the other side. If you don't plug the leak, then the ship is going to continue to sink. And as they become more and more desperate, they start looking for other ways to raise money. Government doesn't produce money. All it can do is tax us for its money. So it goes after those funds in any way that it can. When you look at all the bills in the legislature, if you were to stack them all up, they are weighed very heavily against small business. When you look at the new taxes that they're looking at, you look at the way that they're handling the audits, whether it's the tax audits, the, you know, the labor audits, whatever it is, why anybody would want to stay here and start a business is beyond my understanding.
But talk to me more about what's going on nationwide. As you mentioned to the guy in New York, that's going on over there. Is this going on everywhere in your association?
No, it's not. It's just the states that received the grants from the Department of Labor, and I can actually send you the graphic so that you can see the national grants that were put out, those states are the ones that are being targeted, and they're the ones that are being the most aggressive in these in this issue.
Mm-hmm. Are there people that are abusing this, though? I mean, are there people that are giving 1099s to people that they shouldn't be giving 1099s to?
I would bet in the makeup of humanity that there are people out there that are doing the wrong thing. Absolutely. And should the Department of Labor hold them accountable? Absolutely. We're not opposed to the state even coming out and saying, we're going to mandate workers' compensation and unemployment insurance for everybody who registers for a business in the state of Vermont, because that would require the process of legislature and the open discourse that happens in the legislative process.
Like moving forward.
Correct.
Yeah.
If they want to legislate workers' compensation for everybody that yeah. runs a business, let them do it. But they should. What they're doing now is there's no money in there for them. If they do it that way and they do it proactively going forward and say everybody's going to, this is the rule and this is the way the state's going to govern small business in the state of Vermont, then there's no opportunity for them to fine anybody. And so there, it's almost as if the process that they've got in place is stacked to their advantage, and there's no upside for them to do the right thing. And that is disturbing. And the fact that the legislature sits up there quietly allowing this to happen across every spectrum, across every sector, whether you're getting it hit on the tax side or on the labor side, the fact that the legislature has basically abdicated its responsibilities to the citizens of its state is a gross, you know, injustice.
Because I remember another thing going on a couple of years ago is that the unemployment insurance fund was really in bad shape.
Absolutely. The recession hit it hard, but they've restacked those coffers. They were supposed to drop the unemployment rate insurance. That hasn't happened. And then they turn around and go out after creating this boondoggle, trying to create employees, this misclassification issue that they're pursuing. They actually have a bill called S-82 that is pending in the legislature that is to create a study group that allows the Department of Tobacco and Firearms, the Department of Labor, the Department of Tax, Department of Finance, all the great big ABCs of the state to come together over the summer and work on the misclassification definition. But this bill, this would be the second time they've studied the situation, and there's been no relief for our businesses. And we absolutely are going to continue this heat that we're putting out there until we see some sort of recourse for our businesses.
Moment of your time for our friends at Jet Service Envelope, an outstanding local business, and you can find them at 229-9335 and on the web at jetservice-envelope.com. They can take care of any and all of your printing needs, and as far as I know, if you hire them, they're not going to be an employee. They'll be an independent contractor, and you just pay them. Call them at 229-9335 and on the web at jetservice-envelope.com. I guess maybe we should all hold our breath on that. So Bob, let me ask you. So what's going to happen with Bouchard Pierce Appliances if you get hammered on this?
Well, we have been audited, and fortunately, you know, we're a type of business, we're retail, so we don't really get into this issue, but our connection
with... You got a bookkeeper? You got a, you know, I mean...
Oh, yeah,
like
we have a very good controller, and yeah, she's my niece, and she's very strict with us and, you know, how we operate, but surprisingly, the auditor came in and on a few... There's two things that they picked up on the audit. And surprisingly, part of our business is we do install dishwashers for customers. There was about four occasions or maybe a little more throughout a year that, you know, if you have somebody who calls in sick, well, we hired this older gentleman who installed dishwashers, and because we collected the fee from the customer, we passed on the fee to the older gentleman who installed the dishwasher, and surprisingly, they said that he was an employee. And it was like we only used him, you know, mm-hmm. on an emergency basis, and it was like, okay. And another thing was we hire contractors to install our kitchens. We have, you know, we sell kitchen cabinetry and countertops,
yeah.
and we do not install them, but we hire contractors to install our displays. And the Department of Labor guy said, they're technically your employee. It's like, it was unbelievable.
Wow.
We didn't get fined because it's very, very small. It was, you know, but they could have. Technically, we could have been in trouble for that.
I hope if I ask you guys questions, I don't technically become your employee either. Thank you all for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
I'll ask some folks on Friday about this as well, too. That's going to wrap things up for hour number one. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. The Attorney General will be joining us coming up in about 15 minutes, and that'll follow our White House report. Keep your dial right here. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush, FM 96.5 in Barrie and Montpelier, 101.9 in the Kingdom, and AM 550 WDEV, Waterbury, Montpelier. News is coming your way next.